Well, I wanted to speak to you a few moments, if I may, on what is your Goliath today? What is your Goliath? Brother Lee there was reading the story of what took place with David and the Goliath, the Philistine. You might pronounce it Philistine. You can pronounce it either way you want to, Philistine, Philistine. it doesn't make any difference, whichever way you want to pronounce it. But we have a story here. Brother Lee was mentioning over in about the fourth chapter of 1 Samuel this morning in the Sunday school class. He was talking about the Ark of the Covenant. And so how the Philistines and the children of Israel were at war and fighting each other. And at that particular time that Brother Lee was teaching about this morning, the Philistines had won the war and got the Ark of the Covenant back. But now this is a different part in the 17th chapter. And we find that the children of Israel and the Philistines are at war again, as they always were. There's always going to be religious wars as long with different countries, because people cannot agree upon who the God of this universe is. Now, you and I know who God is. God, our God is a God with the large G, big G. And He is the God that created us and created this world. But the gods of a lot of other people in different countries is not the same God that you and I worship. Most people that worship other gods are physical things that they can see with the naked eye. You and I do not see our God, the one that created us, the one that created this world. But you and I can feel on the inside of us the spirit of our God, the true and living God. We can feel His presence, because God, when we accept Him, dwells within our hearts. And so you need to be careful, people, where you go and what you do and what you say, especially if you proclaim to be a child of God, because you have God in the form of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost in you, and you take Him everywhere you go. So you need to be careful about that. So here we find in that 17th chapter there, we find the Israelites and the Philistines were fighting. Now they'd come to the point where they were at a standstill. The Philistines was up on top of one mountain, and the Israelites was on top of another mountain, and there was a valley in between. And it got to the point where each one was afraid of the other. They didn't want no war against each other, actually, but they had to fight because that's just the way people are. Pride causes us to fight. Greed causes us to fight. What do you think? A religion causes us to fight. Why do you think all these other countries want to fight with us? They actually want what we have, but they don't know how to get it. They actually want a God like we have, but they don't know how to get that, the true and living God. That's why we send missionaries to try to proclaim it to them. They want the financial part that America has, the freedoms that America has, the peace that America has. They don't know how to get it. And so out of jealousy, they go to war. They would like to destroy us. And so the Philistines and the Israelites were the same way. But they really didn't want to fight each other because they were afraid of each other. So the Philistines, they had this humongous giant called Goliath. And this fellow, the Bible says there, if I can find it, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. By the way, that's the 17th and 4th verse. Named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's a big boy. 6 cubits and one span is approximately 9 foot and 9 inches. Now, can you imagine? I'm not quite that tall. I'm only about 8'9", but in my mind, it might be 8'9" this way, but not that way. But this guy would have made a great Detroit Piston forward, because, man, this guy was 9 foot and 9 inches, approximately. It's a little off one way or the other, but it's about, it's approximately 18 cubics per cubic. It's about 18 inches, and a span is about 9 inches, approximately. It could be off one digit, but it's approximately 9 foot 9 inches, this guy. And here's this guy. He's got all this armor on him, great big sword. And every morning or every day, he would go out and go down into the valley. And he would challenge those Israelites. Now, they didn't want to fight and kill each other. So what they'd say, you send any man out that you want, and I'll fight him. And whoever wins, wins the war. So every day, this humongous, uncircumcised, the Bible calls him, that means he was unreligious, no covenant with no God, real God, would go down into that valley, and he would challenge the children of Israel, send out anybody you want to, and I will fight them, and whoever wins is a winner. Well, they couldn't find anybody who had enough backbone to go down and stand up to this Goliath to fight him. Kind of like a lot of men this day and age, they don't have any character, so the dear women have to lead the family in finances and working and lead the families in religion. Because men have, in this day and age, it seems like the men have a wet noodle for a spine. God didn't create us men to be that way. He didn't create us to be slave drivers either. But at the same token, he give us some backbone that we're supposed to stand up to what's right. And we don't stand up for what's right. We just do whatever we want to do that'll make us feel good. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So, for 40 days, Goliath would go down into the valley. Do you have a challenge for me today, challenger? No, we ain't got anybody. Everybody, you know, asking for a volunteer. Boy, they got busy doing something else. Well, David was just a little teenage boy. Probably about like you, brother. Just a young boy. Took care of his dad's few sheep that he had. And his dad said, you know, your brothers have been over there in war for quite a while down on the other side of that mountain. Says, I want you to take this cheese and bread and take it to your brothers. So he did. You know, how you're supposed to obey dads, you young people. He obeyed his dad and he goes down there. But he's excited because he says, boy, now I'm going to get to see a battle. You know how boys, they like war, you know, they like to see the fighting and they like sports and they like anything that has action to it or activity to it. Car racing, don't make any difference. So he goes over there expecting a war, and boy, he couldn't wait to get there to see it. And David gets over there, and there ain't no war going on. So he says to his brothers, what in the world is going on here? He said, oh, man, he said, they got this humongous giant over there. 9 foot and 9 inches tall, all covered with armor everywhere. The only thing that's not covered on him is his face. Big sword, everything. Everybody's afraid of him. Nobody won't challenge him. David said, well, what in the world's wrong with you guys? Haven't you got any backbone? Aren't you the children of God? Don't you have God on your side? People, when we have God on our side, you don't have to fear nobody or nothing. You don't have to fear the economic situation we've got. You don't have to fear the wars that go on. You don't even have to fear this election's coming up. Because God's going to take care of you if you're his child. And David had God on his side. He had God in his heart. God feared none of them. He killed a bear one time, cured a lion one time. And he said, what's wrong with you guys? You're supposed to have God on your side. They said, why don't you get on back there, David, to them sheep? You don't need to be around here. He said, I'll challenge that giant. I'm not afraid of him. He said, you're nuts. You're just a little boy. You get yourself on back and pin dead sheep. I'll go face that giant. Because he knew down in his heart he had God. And he knew that God would be with him through anything that came along. So as David started to leave, Saul seen how brave he was. He said, well, you can't go out there. All you got is a little stick with a crook on it, you know, to kind of grab the sheep and pull them back. And you got that little slingshot. You can't face that giant. David says, I'm going after him. Saul says, well, listen, if you're going to go after him, what I want you to do is to put on my armor. Could you imagine? I just seen Brother Herb walk in there. See what a big, tall man he is. He's like a Goliath, you know. Humongous, tall, handsome. You can pay me later, brother. Can you imagine him being dressed in armor like Saul and telling this young man over here, we're using you as David today, by the way, if you don't mind. And you, Brother Herb, tell him, here, you can't go face that giant. You put my armor on you. Brother, it'd be like a wedding gown. It'd be hanging out the back and dragging on behind you. And that's the way it was. And David put it on, and I can just imagine seeing him with a like a you've seen somebody that wears a 32 suit and they put on a 48, you know. It's all drooping on it. He said, forget this stuff. Off with it. I don't need it. I've got God. I'm not gonna let that giant bother me. My God will take care of it. I don't need that sword. I don't need all that armor. So he goes out down in the valley. Goliath comes out. Who's going to challenge me today? And little David says, I will. He started laughing at him, making fun of him. David pulls out his little slingshot, and he's got five stones that he picked up down there in the valley. And he takes one of the little stones and puts in his slingshot. And hit that giant right here. Now, a lot of people think that stone killed Goliath, but it didn't. Just kind of knocked him cuckoo, and he fell on the ground. And David went over to him and reached down and took Goliath's sword out from his hand and chopped his head off and killed it. So I tell you that story to tell you this, that there's some of us here today that may have a Goliath in your life. I wonder what yours is today. Is your Goliath an alcohol problem? Is your Goliath a smoking problem? Is your Goliath today fornication? Or is it adultery? Is it you're going through a divorce? You're under depression? You're all depressed today? You've got some kind of bad health. It might be your back. It might be asthma. It might be cancer. You may be in a hospital. Some may be in a hospital today. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what your Goliath is today. But I'm sure if I were to go down the rows and ask each one of you what your Goliath is, what is aggravating you, what is bothering you, what do you feel is destroying you today, what is keeping you from enjoying your life, what is your Goliath? And I'm sure that any of us sitting here this morning would be able to tell them all what your Goliath is. I was talking to a couple of members this week. They had called me on the phone, and I answered the phone, and I says, "Hello," you know, and says, "Is this Brother Veal?" I said, "Yes." And I says, "Well, how are you doing?" And right away they started telling me about their Goliath. "Well, I've got this problem, and I've got that problem, and this here, and that." And so we talked for about a half hour and got ready to hang up. They said, "Oh, by the way, I forgot to ask you. I called to see how you made out with your shot." After giving me a half hour of their Goliath, I said, "My Goliath is just about dead," to myself. Fine. We have Goliath. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 30:6 that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, not in the preacher, not in the Sunday school teacher or even the deacon, but he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'm here to tell you, if you have a Goliath in your life, you don't need a big set of armor. You don't need a humongous sword. You don't have to be 9'9". All you need is a little stone, and that little stone is called Jesus. The world may think of him as the little stone, but he is the great boulder. But that's all it takes to be able to face your Goliath every morning, every day, is that stone. And that stone is Jesus Christ. If you've got him, you've got every weapon that you'll ever need. Maybe you're having a financial problem. You need work or whatever. Turn that Goliath over to the stone, Jesus. And let him handle it for you. Did you know that you and I as individuals cannot change anything at all in our lives? Did you know it's only by the grace of God that you and I are even able to walk or to breathe? Just hit my mind. I guess the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you this. If you have asthma here this morning, I know somebody in the audience that knows how to keep you from having those attacks, and when you get one, it'll go away. No, I'm not talking about Jesus. He's able to help. But you go see Sister Vicky. She has asthma real bad. And she has a formula. She was having it real bad in the last couple, 2 or 3 months. But she has discovered something that makes it go away. And she hadn't had an attack for quite a few weeks now. And she had one yesterday. And she took her formula and it went away immediately. See, you don't know I know about you. You don't have to tell me. She didn't tell me. But a little bird told me. No, not an old buzzard. A little bird. What are you hitting your husband on the back for? Oh. You know, you haven't had lunch yet, so he may not buy you none now after that. Did you know that America has a Goliath right now? We have a war going on in Iraq. lot of our boys and girls, men and women are being killed. In the eyes of the parents of those men and women, it's a Goliath. America not only is in war right now and have a Goliath in their life, in the lives of America, but there's an economical situation that's going on in this country right now, and it's getting worse, not better. I looked out the, well, I didn't look, I was walking up my in the back my backyard from the garage to the house, and I noticed the neighbor next door behind me that connects to my mine and Mary's property, the refrigerator, stove, everything was setting up in the driveway, all the furniture and everything. What in the world is going on? And I found out, no, I'm not nosy, but another neighbor stopped, seen me out in the front, and said, "Did you hear about our neighbor?" A widow woman. I used to fish with her husband quite often, and he died. He was getting heart bypasses, and he never pulled through it. And this is back, I don't know, three years or 4 years, something like that. And just before he died, he went and took a loan out on their house, which was paid for, and put new windows in and new doors and things like that. And he did all the work himself because they were poor people. And they suckered him into one of those kind of loans that where they can raise the rates anytime they want to. Variable rate, they call it. People don't ever get a loan or anything on a variable rate. If you can't get a fixed one, forget it. Because you become a servant to that, or a slave to that, and they can control you any way they want to with your money. Well, it's wintertime. Heat bills are heavy. Electricity. Widow woman. Her rates begin to go up and up and up to the point she didn't get enough Social Security. She's disabled too, by the way. And she didn't get enough Social Security to make the payment. And the vultures came and took her house away from her. And they had until yesterday to get out. And people were moving her out to an apartment. And now the house is sitting there and the bank has it. And all the money that they owed was for the windows and the doors, the money that they had borrowed. And it just got so high she couldn't pay it. She's got a Goliath. This whole country has a Goliath right now. Economically. With a war. People losing their jobs. Losing their homes. The answer to this Goliath is God in your life. God is the answer. Leaving Him out of our lives will cause us to lose the war that's in your life. Cancer. Financial. Physical. Whatever it might be, leaving God out of your life will cause you to have a Goliath that you cannot defeat. Trying to do everything on your own without God, it doesn't work. People, we must get back to God, or we'll never make it in this world. Getting worse all the time. Do you think it's going to get better when they change the president? It's going to get worse. Write it down in your little black book. We better be prepared for more Goliaths than we've ever had in this country. You know why? Because we're getting closer and closer to the end of time. God has stomached about all that He can take, the way that you and I are living and carrying on and training our children and worshiping the flesh instead of Him. All we have in our mind is things. When you get down old like me, you'll find out that things don't do it anymore. Doesn't do it anymore. We must get back to God if we're going to conquer the Goliaths in our lives. David could not have killed that Goliath with just a little stone. He got his power and his strength from one person and one person only. It wasn't his strength, but it was God Almighty's strength that he got his power from. So, help us to get rid of our Goliaths, whether it be sicknesses, problems, financial, spiritual. We need to turn to God, people. God's a jealous God and He wants us back. And we are the ones that have left God. God has never left us. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you if you're His child. Sometimes it may seem like that God has left us because it's because we've sinned so much that God can't even stomach that from His own kids, so He turns His back for a while. And He keeps looking over His shoulder hoping that you'll come back to Him. This is what America needs to do, people. Or Goliath, whoever it might be, whatever country it might be, or whatever finance, whatever it might be, is going to destroy America. It's going to destroy it if we, as Americans, don't turn back to God. So, I got to close. What is your Goliath today? Let this be the day that you and I defeat the Goliath. Or you might call him the devil. Because it's the devil that's causing all the sicknesses. It's the devil that's causing the economical problem. It's the devil that's causing wars. The devil wants to do everything in his power to destroy you and I as Christians. He don't want to destroy everybody in the world, just us people that profess to be children of God. He wants to destroy us. We can defeat that devil today by accepting Christ and depend upon Him. And people, we need to do it today. We need to start today. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. The day is the day of salvation for you. Today is the day that you can get out from under bondage from the devil. But you've got to let God do it. You and I are not strong enough to overcome the devil or the Goliaths in our lives. But the Bible says with God, all things are possible with God. Don't you ever give up. As long as you have a breath in your body, don't give up. You think you've got to the end of your rope, tie on it and hang on. The sun will come up tomorrow morning. It's time to quit. I lost my voice. If you're here this morning and you have a Goliath in your life, give it to the Lord. Turn it over to the Lord. Now, if you I almost lost control there for a minute or two. Because I feel very strongly about that. Because this world and us, we as Christians, we got a lot of giants in our life. We got a lot of problems. We got a lot of Goliaths. And people, we need to do something. We need to do it fast. The only hope that we have, I'm telling you, the only hope that you and I have is Jesus. And if you don't have him, I hate to tell you, you get to hell a lot quicker. But wouldn't it be great if all, they say, hell breaks loose on the earth, the devil tries to take over and everything, and the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise, us that remain that are Christian be caught up into the air. I can just see me as I'm floating in the air. Brother Lee was talking about that. There you are, Brother Lee, right behind there. Brother Lee was talking about that this morning. He could just picture the saints of God heading up to heaven in their white robes. I almost said gown, but I don't want people to think I wear gowns. White, pure, virtuous robe. Leaving all those Goliaths behind. You can have that today by inviting Christ into your life. And when your Goliaths come, you've got somebody to help you fight them off and kill them. And that's Jesus. All you need to do to get him in your life is to realize you're a sinner. Let me tell you, you're all sinners, but I am too. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Realize you're a sinner today. Realize what the penalty of sin is. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages or the penalty of sin is death. Meaning separated from our friends, our loved ones, and most of all separated from God and cast into the lake of fire. Oh, the torture. Hell's a humongous giant. And hell is going to win over those that refuse Jesus. The third thing is realize that God loved you so much that he died upon the cross of Calvary for your sins. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God commendeth his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He paid that sin debt already. Oh yeah, your sins that you've committed, even the ones you committed this morning already, they have, God has already paid the debt for those sins. But now you'll have those sins on you until you accept what Jesus did on the cross. The minute you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my wretched soul, forgive me where I've sinned against you, and I accept you as my Savior, I accept the sacrifice that you gave on the cross of Calvary for the remission of my sins. Instantly, you're saved. Instantly, your sins are washed away. On the inside, you're pure and clean and white as the snow flakes that fall. How can you face the world? How can you face these Goliaths in your life without Christ? I don't know how you can do it. I couldn't do it. I'd have gave up a long time ago. People of the world don't have nothing to offer to you. Just things. And things will perish. The Bible says that everything else besides God is wood, hay, and stubble. And it'll all be burned up someday. So don't collect too much junk, because it's going to be burned up. So let us stand. If you're here this morning and you've never invited Christ in,